T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Flow will be kicking off 21 days of camp starting on July 26th with the team's usual locations ranging from St. John Fisher College to New Era Field. Our own Sal Capaccio has more details on training camp, and for more on that story, visit WGR550.com for the lowdown as the 2018 season inches closer. Elsewhere in the NFL, Jets offensive coordinator Jeremy Bates said that third overall pick Sam Darnold is definitely in the running to start week one. Bates went on to say, quote, "We're throwing everything at him, and if he can handle it, then that will take place when the time comes." Free agent running back DeMarco Murray reportedly turned down a tryout with the Saints. Adam Schefter stated that the veteran is patiently waiting for the ideal opportunity, though the league has not expressed much interest in the 30-year-old as his last team visit came back in March with the Dolphins. The World Cup will be returning to North America. A three-headed bid of the U.S., Mexico, and Canada beat out Morocco for hosting rights to the 2026 festivities. It'll be the first time that the U.S. and anyone else in North America, for that matter, get to host a World Cup since 1994. This will also mark the record-setting third time Mexico has been a host, and first since 1986. A minor move was made in hockey today. The Kings and Lightning swapped some depth pieces. Goaltender Peter Budaj is returning to L.A. in exchange for forward Andy Andreyev. Budaj appeared in just 8 games for Tampa Bay last year, posting an .876 save percentage. The Bisons finish up their 10-game road swing this evening. The team has gone 5-4 away from Coca-Cola Field during this stretch. They'll wrap up a 4-game set against the Iron Pigs in just moments at 7:05. You can hear that game over on ESPN 1520. And several games in the majors have already gone final. The Braves shut out the Mets 2-0. The Rays walked off the Blue Jays 1-0. The Brewers blanked the Cubs, you guessed it, 1-0. The Red Sox down the Orioles 5-1. And the Pirates are currently beating the Diamondbacks 5-3. It's Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet hashtag Hoagie Hump Day today at WGR550 for your chance to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. And never miss breaking sports news again. Download the new radio.com app and favorite WGR Sports Radio 550 today. It's brought to you by Geico Local Office, West Seneca. For WGR, I'm Kyle Powell. And for breaking sports news, text the word sports to 550-550.
It's the Nightcap with Ryan Gates.
That boy is our last hope.
No. There is another.
It's the Nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome into the Nightcap. Jody Biasi once again with you tonight. Kyle Powell joining me in studio. You've probably heard him doing the sports updates over the past few weeks during the afternoon show, and it's a Mike Jafari Wednesday. Mike Jafari in the house.
I thought you hated the wrestler.
Kind of embrace it a little bit. So that's the theme song for Ted DiBiase, the only other human being on planet Earth that I know of that's not in my family with the same last name. Or he's at least the only famous person with the same last name as
myself. And I can't confirm he's got the best wrestling theme song.
Who does?
The Million Dollar Man.
I've heard better ones. It's all right.
It's close, though.
I've heard better
Top
ones.
Top three.
803-0550 is the phone number. I don't really know what we're going to talk about tonight. Just thought we'd kind of wing it. It's the first time I've really thought about doing that. Let's just wing it. See what happens. Not really. I've had some thoughts. We're gonna hear at 7:30. We're going to be joined by Channel 4's WIVB's Nick Filipowski. Talk a little Ryan O'Reilly, little Sabres, maybe sprinkle some Bills in as well. They had their second day of mandatory mini camp today. That'll wrap up tomorrow. And then it's on to training camp. About a month away, the training camp schedule came out today. And what was pointed out to me by former Nightcap host, Ryan Gates, who stopped in to sign some paperwork today, he points out to me in the training camp schedule for the Bills that there are some special days. Sunday, July 29th, Christmas in July. Wednesday, August 1st, Princess and Superhero Day.
Oh, that is awesome.
Thursday, August 2nd, Wild West Day. Sunday, August 5th, Military Appreciation Day. Nice. Tuesday, August 7th, One Buffalo Day. And then Tuesday, August 14th, is Pirate Day. And Pirate Day has got to be the best one of those, right? Pirate Day. I'm looking very much forward to going to training camp on Tuesday, August 14th, dressed like Jack Sparrow.
One of the local racetracks does that, and that's usually their biggest night. They kind of go all out for it.
Is so. Pirate Day?
Oh, yeah. The fans love it.
Now, we had an interesting discussion, too, before the show started here. The Christmas in July, on Sunday, July 29th at training camp. That practice is at 8:45 a.m. Who is Santa Claus? It's got to be Kyle Williams, right?
Harrison Phillips. No, Harrison Phillips, for sure.
No, it's got to be
Kyle. You're the rookie. You got to pay your dues.
An elf. Harrison Phillips is certainly an elf.
Oh, that would make
to
sense.
Santa Claus, which is Kyle Williams.
Yeah, like his slave, like, you know, elf, bring me this, bring
yeah.
me that. Yeah, that, okay, that makes
wait,
sense.
Wait, what did you just call
that.
Elves? Slaves?
What else are they?
They're helpers. They're Santa's helpers.
Okay, sure.
Mike.
Yeah, they kind of slave over making toys.
They're,
I don't know.
They're Santa's
very
helpers.
Very generous helpers, to say the least.
They're indentured servants, at the very least.
Okay, we'll go with that. They could also be a reindeer, you know? Sure.
I like they threw the princess in with Superhero Day. Did that need? Can we have their own day? I'm fine with it. Whatever. I'm not gonna grudge over that. Princess and Superhero Day, also a good one. Wild West. I'm liking this. I'm liking these themed practices, and I wonder how much the Bills players will get into them. I hope that they do. Could see Josh Allen drop back to pass dressed like a pirate, shoots has an actual cannon that he fires a football down to whoever's running open down the field.
Would a cowboy at his horse start firing guns in the air if they score a touchdown for Wild West Day? It'd be fun.
It would be. You can check out the Buffalo Bills training camp schedule on our website, WGR550.com, or you could do it at the Bills' Twitter handle, or you could do it at our Twitter, at WGR550. If you want to get involved with the show tonight, call us 803-0550, text us 550-550, or tweet at us at DiBiase WGR. I was going to talk a little bit more about O'Reilly tonight, but there's been a lot of reaction to last night's show where I put some cereal rankings out there. I put some cereal rankings out there, and they were met with large, large amounts of criticism. Hogwash has been a term thrown around. My top five was Reese's Puffs, Lucky Charms. I put s'mores in there. Due to public opinion, I might have to take it out.
Never heard of it.
It's one of my favorites, but I'm sure I didn't term this as my favorite cereals. I termed this as the definitive cereal rankings. So maybe s'mores should have to be taken out of that three spot. Honey Nut Cheerios, I'm not touching. They're at four. Count Chocula, I am not touching. Seasonal, yes. Delicious, yes.
Over Cocoa Puffs? Because Cocoa Puffs, I would think, are universally
hate more. Cocoa Puffs is an average chocolate cereal.
And Count Chocula is better?
Yes. So are Cocoa Pebbles. So the list goes on. Oreos. I didn't put Oreos in here. So I'll leave that three spot open. There's been a lot of suggestions. A lot of people coming at me with Honeycomb. And
I'm a fan of Honeycomb.
You're a fan, of
Honeycomb is solid.
Golden Grahams getting a lot of love. I might have put Golden Grahams in there.
Thoughts on Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No.
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 If it came down to
Rice Krispies,
if it came down to Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Golden Grahams, I think that would have to be the
Frosted Flakes, Corn Flakes, Wheaties. You're missing some good ones here.
Did anyone else miss Frosted Cheerios?
Frosted Cheerios
are
delicious.
Made them? They were incredible. Can't find them anymore. It's been years.
They're an elite Cheerio.
They are an elite Cheerio.
They're an elite Cheerio. All right. If you want to still give us your thoughts on cereal, we're of course open to that. 803-0550. I do want to get back into the Ryan O'Reilly saga, though. We're going to do that with Nick Filipowski in 15 minutes or so. Not really a lot coming out today on it, but we're getting closer and closer to the draft. Single digits now, 9 days away. Next Friday. And I think the feeling around the city, the feeling around the fan base is becoming pretty clear that while not, I don't think there's a lot of people out there like, okay, we have to trade this guy. It has to happen. Everyone's kind of in the middle. We're willing to do it. We understand the value in doing it, but you know what? If they don't trade him, we'll be fine. And I could go both ways right now. I think a lot of people could go both ways. I'm looking to see when this next team that's going to jump into these rumors is, because I think Vancouver is not a legit team for this. I do think Montreal is. I do think Carolina is. And Now, there's odds on Ryan O'Reilly being traded. He's more likely, according to Bovada, to be dealt than he is to be on the team. You can bet on it. You can bet on it if Ryan O'Reilly. Well, you can bet on it. You can bet on it if Ryan O'Reilly is going to be back with the team. So what are your thoughts? 803-0550. Do you think that this is something the Sabres actually need to do? What would your feeling be if he's on the roster day one, night one? I would be okay with it. I think he's going to be the number two center if that's the scenario. And, you know, we talked on the afternoon show today, a lot of talk about if there was an NHL redraft, where would Dahlin go? Where would Eichel gets tossed in a lot? He would be top 10 for sure. And the other thing that I think is making me realize they could afford to not keep Ryan O'Reilly around is I would think this is the year Jack Eichel takes a big step. And the comparison I would use to that is Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado, 22-year-old center. He was the first overall pick in 2013. Similar stature. He came in as a generational prospect. Jack Eichel came in as a generational prospect. You look at MacKinnon's first four years in the league, he really didn't do that much. His goal totals in his first four seasons were 24, 14, 21, 16. Jack Eichel, 3 years into his career, 24, 24, 25. MacKinnon took that jump at age 22. Eichel's going to be 22 this season.
And I think he did it with lesser of a supporting cast.
Oh, for sure. And MacKinnon jumped from 16 goals and 53 points to 39 goals and 97 points. That's the type of jump I think maybe we shouldn't be expecting from Eichel, but we need to hope that at some point he's going to make a jump like that. Go from a 60-point player to a high 90s, low 90s even. Get above a point a game. 64 points in 67 games last season. If he were to play 75 games, can he get to 90? I think that's the jump you need to be looking for. And if you get that jump, suddenly that intensity of bringing Ryan O'Reilly into the fold as your second line center, it's not as important. Important was the word I was looking for there. It's not as important. He's your second most consistent scorer, but if your number one scorer has taken a jump like that, suddenly maybe you can afford to have a guy like Casey Mittelstadt be your number two, and there'll be less pressure on him. Because if your number one center is getting, I don't know, 40 goals, 90 points, suddenly you don't need that second guy to be doing quite as much, especially with ice time. And O'Reilly, we know that he's always been up there. So that's my thoughts right now on O'Reilly. More serial debate going on Twitter right now. Pat Malacaro chimes in. Lucky Charms, it's not even close. End of discussion.
I always knew he was my favorite Bisons broadcaster.
Why? Just because of Lucky Charms? I love Lucky Charms, but they're not number one. They can't be number one.
The discussion is elite. Now, you don't name one player elite. It can be an entire league.
Did you know
players.
You can now buy Lucky Charms that are all marshmallows?
That's too much.
That's gross.
That takes away the genuineness
but
of the cereal.
That's my point, because...
Oh, so it has to be. It can't be a standalone?
It needs a supporting cast. The marshmallows need a supporting cast. I love the marshmallows. I think that's what makes Lucky Charms great, but they need a supporting cast. They can't be successful on their own. So I'm taking Lucky Charms down a peg. Reese's Puffs, I'm fine. It's all great.
I think Reese's Puffs are overrated. Reese's Puffs. That's just me. Because the candy is so good, it's just, you know.
Reese's Puffs are reliant on each other. You take away the chocolate, they're Captain Crunch. Oh. You take away the peanut butter, they're Cocoa Puffs.
No. If you take away the chocolate, they're Peanut Butter Crunch.
Oh, excuse me.
Peanut Butter Crunch is delicious. You take the peanut butter away and they're Cocoa Puffs. But Cocoa Puffs are good.
Too much in the morning. When are you eating your cereal? You can do chocolate that early?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
There's also...
Honestly, more power to you.
Another great cereal that I won't have that high is Crave, which is literally just... It's just real. It's a chocolate bar.
I think you're sleeping on cornflakes. Cornflakes don't get enough love. I mean, you can use them for cooking recipes, too. It's so classic. It's got that rooster.
No.
I don't know.
Frosted Flakes.
Cornflakes is a joke.
Yeah. It's like frosted corn.
I can respect Frosted Flakes, but I can't do it with cornflakes.
Well, I would still give tip of the hat to cornflakes if Frosted Flakes made it in there. Because, you know, that's just more sugar on top of the cornflakes.
Tremaine Edmonds we're going to hear from later on in the show. What? There's not much more that could be said here. All it is now is just bashing my top five over and over.
You don't have
taken
them one
by one.
You have number three open.
That's true. But we are going to hear from Tremaine Edmonds, Bills linebacker, later in the show. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Jody Biasi, Kyle Powell, Mike Jafari Wednesday. We're all hanging out. Sorry about the end of that last segment. Having some technical difficulties, but I think we got them figured out. We should be good. So we're actually going to play back that Tremaine Edmonds interview from earlier today. Bills first-round rookie linebacker, by all accounts, has looked really good so far in minicamp. Sure, shorts, t-shirt. Can't take away too much, but he's probably going to be this team's starting middle linebacker. You could take it either way. He got an interception off Josh Allen. So it's good and bad in the same thing, the same light. Micah Hyde with the tip yesterday in minicamp. Edmonds gets the interception. Here's the first-round rookie out of Virginia Tech, joining John Murphy and Steve Tasker earlier today on our airwaves on One Bills Live.
First-round draft pick Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech. Linebacker Tremaine, good to have you here. We talked to you on the phone after you were drafted. Now we got you in here. Thanks for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
How did it go today? What'd you think?
It was good. Another good day at work. You know, just getting better every day and, you know, trying to perfect my craft out there.
Steve's tired of hearing me say this, but I say it a lot. They're asking a lot from you, aren't they? I mean, you don't have to admit it, but they're asking a lot from you, coming right from college at a very young age and stepping in here, not just playing, but kind of managing what goes on out there defensively with the first team, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big step for everybody that's out there, just that transition from college to the NFL. I mean, you're going to make mistakes out there, and I think the number one thing is just admitting to that. Like, you're not going to be perfect out there, and you got to learn from each mistake and, you know, move forward from there.
What's the biggest challenge for you? Has it been the complexity of the defense or how versatile it is or the speed of the installation? What's been the biggest adjustment?
Just learning everything. I think that's how it is with every new system that someone's in. You know, even in college, you know, it's just you got to get that system down pack. And then, you know, I think things will start clicking. You know, you start playing faster and things will happen that way.
Hey, Tremaine, we may have talked to you about this before, but can we go back to draft night, first night of the draft, first round? The Bills have already made a big splashy move moving up to get the quarterback, Josh Allen. Where were you, and what was that night like for you? Were you home? Were you at Virginia Tech? Were you home in Virginia?
No, I was actually at the draft.
You were there.
Yeah, I was actually at the draft, and you know, I had my family there, and you know, we was all just having a good time, just waiting for that call. And
The draft went down to, you know, where you came up, did you think it's coming? My time's coming here soon, around midway through.
I mean, I was ready. I was ready for anything. So, from the beginning of the draft till I got picked, or to the end of it, you know, I was ready, man. I was just ready to see what happens and where I end up at, and I can't be more proud to be here.
What did you think when the Bills made that trade? I mean, for a team to trade to get to you indicates what they think of you, right?
It means a lot to me, you know, just seeing me as that type of player that fit their system. And, you know, I can't be more thankful for the opportunity, and I'm going to take full advantage of it.
What'd your dad say as a former Dolphin that you were going to Buffalo?
Man, he was just happy. He didn't bring none of that up.
No former animosity?
He didn't. What he did say, it's a tough place to play. But, you know, nothing bad about it. He was just happy, you know, supporting.
Yeah.
It's tough for visitors like he was. Maybe different for home guys. This is your home field, right? Maybe not so tough.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Tell me about your brother. And are the Steelers in minicamp this week as well?
I believe so.
Have you talked to him much?
Yeah, I talk to him. Yeah, they're in minicamp.
Every day do you talk to him? Or how often do you reach out?
I try to talk to him every day, both of my brothers. You know, try to say a little something. If it's not long, because I know our schedules are kind of different, maybe shoot him a text. You know, not always on the phone with him, but maybe just shoot him a text, see how everything going, and move forward from there.
How's it been going off the field, like in the classroom and the film study, and you're in the defensive room and you're working with the coordinator? I mean, how's that been going with the film study, with the groups, the position groups, also the total defensive meetings? Talk about the atmosphere and the attitude guys have got coming into those rooms.
Yeah, I think it helps out a lot because, you know, some of the veteran guys, you know, they're doing a whole lot of communication in there and, you know, talking about what they see out there on the field. And it's good for us young guys to hear that so we could, you know, hear it before we actually display it out there on the field. We can already have a feel for it. And just asking all our questions in there and getting everything, you know, corrected so we could take it to the field.
Do you feel like you're catching up? Because these guys are, you know, they're a year into this system. I mean, they're not changing too much on defense, a couple of players. And there are a couple of veterans who are also, like you, brand new into the system. So do you feel like you're catching up to those guys? I mean, that's a long way to go, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying every day to, you know, just study my material and just control the things that I can. And that's just me locking in that playbook and making sure I'm doing my assignment.
Tell me about learning your assignments. You got here a couple. Steve said a couple weeks after the veterans were here, they throw a playbook at you. How much more work have you had to do to kind of get used to what's in that playbook and understand what's going on in there?
You got to do a lot. You just got to study. And I think that's the number one thing. Whatever it takes to get that thing down pat, you got to make sure you're doing that. And, you know, it's different things, but, you know, just making sure you get that down pat.
So a little bit about, you know, when you got out there, I mean, obviously, you know, when you first got here, how did you find out, like, listen, you're the top guy on the depth chart? I mean, how do they tell you, like, how do they communicate with you about the role you're going to play, which seems to be right in the middle of everything? I mean, they put everything on your plate. How do they tell you that? What'd they say?
I mean, it's kind of just, you know, just keep stressing the fact that I got to communicate out there. I'm in the middle, so I got to make sure I'm communicating out there to the whole defense. And, you know, they tell all the guys, make sure you're doing your assignment. That's the one thing they told me as well. So making sure I do that and making sure I get the job done.
So you're calling defenses, and you're learning the playbook, and they send a defense in, and you basically have to repeat it to everybody, right? Defensive huddle.
Yeah.
But what about other than that? I mean, are you at the point now where you can notice things and say, hey, shade this way, or hey, take a half step back or something? Or will that take some time to get to that level of your understanding of this defense so you start moving guys around a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I got some things down, you know, just trying to take a step every day, you know, getting those type of things down pat, you know, so I can start recognizing and just reacting. But you know, like I said, man, I'm understanding the defense more every day, and I think that's going to be a big thing for me.
You are 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
You're playing with, you know, Lorenzo Alexander, Kyle Williams are 15 years older than you.
Yeah.
Any hesitation at all, kind of moving them around, telling them what you see, what you sense, what you think people should do?
No, sir. I mean, in this game, you got to be firm in what you say, and once you make a decision, you just got to go with it. And so, you know, that's what I'm doing out there. I rely back on those guys for help, though, and advice while I'm out there. So they done a good job with that, and can't thank them enough.
We asked Josh Allen, I said, listen, after this week, you know, you're kind of – they kind of shush you out of the building for like 6 weeks until your training camp. Are you kind of anxious to maybe take a deep breath, say, hey, I'm ready to sit down and kick back for just a minute? I mean, what's your plans on for this next 6 weeks after this week is over to get out of this building, go back and start continue to stay in shape? I mean, are you kind of ready for that?
I mean, I think we all kind of know it's not really a break. I mean, it's a break, but at the same time, you got to be locked in, and because when it comes back, it's go time, and got to make sure you have everything down packed. And I think that's going to be a lot of this break, just me making sure I get back in that book, you know, staying in shape and things like that. You know, training with my brothers, I think that's going to be a big help for me, because we could all talk about how we view the game and from offensive side and defensive side.
It's a break. It's not a break.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Hey, Tremaine, your play is. You know, you got teammates noticing it. We had Lorenzo here on the set a couple weeks ago, and he said, I don't know if you heard this or not, he said, Tremaine is going to be an all-pro performer in a couple of years. Wyatt Teller, college teammate of yours from Virginia Tech, on our show just last week, said something to the effect that I said to him, you know, how did you know that at Virginia Tech that Tremaine was going to be good? And he said, just look at him. what do you think when you got teammates noticing your play and how you look and what you've done out here so far in a very short time?
I appreciate it, you know, but I have a lot more room for improvement and, you know, things that I have to get better with, you know, assignments that I have to get down. And so, you know, in order for this team, you know, to take the next step, it's just going to be about everybody just out there, you know, communicating, everybody out there playing as one. And that's going to be my responsibility for myself to making sure I have my assignment down.
Okay, and all the stuff that you've been through, all the drills and all the stuff now, the 11-on-11, you watch, who have you noticed?
From just offense and defense?
Yeah, who's out there that say, wow, that guy's a really good player? I'm like, who have you noticed for their abilities and their you know, like wow, I never saw anybody like this at Virginia Tech, like that kind of thing.
Well, for me right now, it's kind of everybody, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, just me trying to – I'm kind of locked in on my assignment right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see a lot of guys out there making big plays and things like that from both sides. So it's kind of hard for me to just, you know, give you a couple of names, but it's a lot of them out there that's doing good.
When you talk about locking down to your assignments, where did you learn to do that? When did you start doing that, to be that serious and that focused on what was being asked of you?
I think at a young age, both of my parents did a good job with that and just always kept our heads on straight. Just speaking of my dad, since he played in the league, just taught me at a young age what it took to be successful. And he was my coach in high school, so it'd be several times when I wanted to do other things, but he said, no, we about to watch film. So I learned at a young age that, I mean, you got to sacrifice sometimes, and, you know, that's the number one thing, just to make sure you focus.
Do you think when you get playing here regular season, I guess, or maybe in preseason, your dad can watch film now, right? We can all get film, all 22 film. You think you'll compare notes with him? What did you see here? What did you see there? I mean, he'd be a valuable resource to tell
you. I'm pretty sure he's always going to have something to say after my game, just like in college. But yeah. It's only to my benefit. Like, it's going to help me out just seeing what he sees, because he played tight end. So seeing what he sees from an offensive perspective so I can apply it to my game. So I'm pretty sure we'll be talking.
What's your family going to do on game days? You got a brother playing in Pittsburgh, and your brother's at the Saints?
Yes, sir.
What are they going to do? They're going to split up?
They'll figure it out. They've been figuring it out my whole life. So.
Yeah, but you got three different spots now.
Hey, I know they're going to do whatever
ticket,
it takes.
Man.
They always have a plan for us. So.
Is there tell me about the rivalry or the competition between you and your brothers. I mean, you're all playing in the league now. You got to, compare. You got to measure yourself against your brothers, how they're doing, what they're doing. Is there any of that going on? Do you guys get together at Thanksgiving dinner and say, I had a better year than you did? I mean, right?
I don't know what's going to happen this year because, this being our first year, we're all in the league, so I'm not sure what's going to happen. I know it's going to be a little bit of junk talking, a little bit reflecting on, what we've been through. And,
you're out on the driveway playing hoops against each other, you're going to be talking a lot of smack.
Oh, yeah. We're always talking
smack.
Like
the Murphy family.
Right. Hey, Terrain, a couple of years ago, the Gronkowskis, Rob had two other brothers playing in the league. Chris was playing in the league, and Danny was playing in the league, all three at once. And I recall talking to them. They grew up around here. Did you guys anticipate this would ever happen? And they're like, oh, yeah, this was the plan all along. Was this the plan in the Edmonds family to have you and your brothers in the NFL at the same time?
I would say it was definitely a plan to have us all playing professional ball, whatever it was. Because growing up, we all played multiple sports. So
you could choose NBA even?
Yeah, we never, you can't really tell what the other brother's thinking. So you don't know if one wants to be a basketball player, one wants to be a football player. But like I said, we all played all those sports. We all did a lot growing up. So we all wanted to play professional ball. So whatever that's always been a plan.
You think you got something out of playing multiple sports? I always thought as well. I mean, I thought it's crazy to have 8-year-old kids choose one sport and not play anything else. And do you agree with that, or would you have been better served as maybe picking just football at 8 years old and never playing anything else?
No, I think it's good. Just my perspective, but I think it's good playing multiple sports just because you don't know what those other sports have to offer. So if you just settle yourself to play one sport, then, you're missing out on what may be an opportunity for yourself. And I say from there you can kind of pick and choose which one you want to play and which one you think you have success with.
You got to try a lot of them, right?
Got to.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question about yourself as a player, and I know you're going to want to say I got to get better. I understand that, but right now, what's the best thing you think you do? What's the biggest thing that you provide the Buffalo Bills right now as far as your skill set? What do you do well?
I think I'm a tall guy that can bend. Tall guy that can get low. I think tall guys sometimes have bad reps with not being able to bend their knees, but I think I can get low.
That's good. How do you like Buffalo? It's been here a month, 5-6 weeks now. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I tell my family, I haven't really done much just because, things kind of been moving fast. I kind of been locked in. So just been trying to get my assignments down and things like that. So I really haven't had a whole lot of time to actually explore. But from what I've seen, I've been enjoying it.
We're glad you're here. We're glad you're locked in. We encourage you to take a look around Buffalo. you're going to be here a while, hope.
Right.
Terrain, thanks for this. Good luck to you. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There he is, Terrain Edmunds, Bills' first-round pick. 16th overall out of Virginia Tech. He will most likely be the Bills' starting middle linebacker come week one against Baltimore. We're going to continue our tour around the Bills' locker room from the locker room today after practice. Day two of mandatory minicamp. We're going to hear from Jerry Hughes, maybe Kyle Williams, Ryan Groy, Kalen Clay, Eddie Yarborough. All of that coming your way. Jody Biasi. On a Mike Jafari Wednesday. It's the Nightcap. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap on a Mike Jafari Wednesday. Jody Biasi and the gang hanging out here for the next hour or so. Buffalo Bills wrapping up their second day of mandatory minicamp today down at One Bills Drive. By all accounts, Josh Allen looked pretty good. He's got a cannon on his right shoulder. old savvy veteran, Kyle Williams, still sticking around. I don't even know if I should be calling him old. Is a 35-year-old man old? Not really. Kyle Williams spoke to the media after today's practice. He is coming back for at least one more season. Here's the Bills defensive tackle with the media.
No. Nobody filled me in on that when we were out at practice. So no, I haven't seen it. So hopefully there's some good themes and, you know, something to laugh about while we're there.
If you had to pick a theme, what would you pick?
Huh?
If you had to pick a theme, what would you pick?
Short practice.
Hey, I like that too. Kyle, just, you know, so far with some of the changes on the defensive line, the addition of Star, what have you seen from this unit as a whole during camp?
I think all the guys that we've added in have, you know, kind of come in seamlessly and, you know, taken everything in stride. You know, good players, you know, added some ends, you know, drafted Harrison. I think Adolphus has had a really good spring. So there's been a lot of positive things coming out of this spring, and we just have to build on it, and, you know, as we go through training camp and even into the season.
Yeah, speaking of Harrison, some people are kind of calling him the kind of the mini-me, referring to you, sort of. What have you seen from him so far?
No, I think he's done a good job. You know, he's learning everything, you know, trying to get the lingo down, what we're saying, so we're all speaking the same language. And, you know, I think the thing is that he's going to continue to learn, and he's going to continue to get better the more reps he gets, you know, even all the way through the season and, you know, as he puts years on his career.
What have you learned about this next 6 weeks after tomorrow, obviously? You know, how you have to approach things before you get into training camp?
Well, you know, I try to encourage everybody, take a little bit of a break. You know, especially, you know, rookie guys, you know, because they're going from bowl game to senior bowl to combine training to combine to OTAs, minicamp. You know, your rookie year is the longest year ever. You know, I mean, it never really stops. It's almost a full calendar year. So try to tell them, take a little bit of time, refresh your mind, your body a little bit, and then ramp your workouts as we get into training camp, because those guys are going to get a lot of reps.
How much have you had to change, given the fact that you're older, your body changes, and you have a family that's grown as well?
Well, you know, my family is great because they really, when it comes to this and what we do, they allow me to go out and chase it. And you know, I hate to use the word backseat, but they really just kind of fly around with me, and, you know, everything knows that it revolves around this. So as far as they go, they're great. I've learned, the older I've gotten, the things that I need to build up and to make myself to be the player I want to be. So I've learned to work smarter as I've gotten older, rather than just throwing a lot of volume at it.
Kyle, obviously you guys lost guys like Richie and Eric and Tyrod, some of the guys other than yourself that were considered big leaders on this team last year. Who have you seen kind of step up and fill that void other than yourself?
Well, I mean, there's a number of guys, you know, that you've seen offensively that have done that. But those guys are going to continue to rise to the top through what they've done this spring as we go into training camp and when the real bullets start flying, you know, in the preseason and the regular season. So, you know, the guy with the C is not always the guy that has to be the leader. I mean, we need a lot of guys that can set the tone and set an example and hold guys accountable to what we're doing.
For you personally, how are you feeling in your decision to come back for another year? Because I know that was up in the air at the end of last season.
You know, I've got no reservations. I enjoy being around this city and this team and playing this game. You know, I mean, I still, you know, 35 years old, I still have joy going out there and practicing football and getting after it and competing with guys. And, you know, I don't know that I'll ever die, but, you know, I'm really in a good place.
I apologize if you already asked this, but
I already did. Already know.
Yeah.
Before you even asked me, I already
right?
know.
A guy like Harrison
yes,
Phillips.
My eyes are blue, yes.
Yes, yes. They're beautiful, by
Thank
the
you.
Way.
Married.
Now, me too. It's okay.
Don't get flustered. It's all right. Keep going.
I also like your beard, by the way.
Thank you.
A guy like Harrison Phillips, a rookie coming in, there's always expectations with rookies, but what stood out and what's impressed you about his work ethic and what he brings to the table?
Well, I think he's come in and tried to be a sponge, which is the most important thing. You know, you get young guys in, you know, and you get some that, you know, maybe you hear them more than you see them, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, he's trying to soak it up. He's trying to learn. He's in a good position where, you know, where I'm at in my career and what I have going on, I'm trying to pour into him and teach him everything that I can to help him be the best, because in my opinion, the better we can make him, the better our football team is going to be now and in the future. And I mean, I'm going to be a Buffalo Bill forever, so hopefully I can watch him, you know, go on and on and on. So I'm pouring a lot into him. We're all kind of bouncing things off each other, but he's done a good job so far.
Kyle, when you re-signed back, there was no declaration of, oh, this is my last year or anything. You don't even know what next year holds after this, right?
No, I'm trying to figure out what this afternoon holds. So I don't put anything out there, nothing concrete. You know, it's kind of the way I've been in my career. You know, I'm going to go out and put my stuff on today, and I'm going to do the best I can today, and we'll figure everything else out.
Kyle, can you talk real quick about how McDermott's culture has captivated the Bills so quickly and how it might continue going forward?
Well, I mean, I think it's something you're continually building because you're adding new guys, whether it's free agency, draft. You know, you're trying to take a core group of guys that have been here, that have been around it, are kind of immersed in it, and they're trying to teach it and bring other guys along. So, you know, we're kind of early in that. I mean, I think the type of guys they're drafting and bringing in kind of reflect that, tough guys, hardworking guys, guys that are, you know, eager and willing to learn. So, you know, we're going to continue to try to build this team. We've got, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of camp before we even play in a game. So we've still got a lot of time left to get this this team ironed out in the way we want it.
What do you think about your former teammate T.O. saying he's not going to go to the induction ceremony for the Hall of Fame?
You know, I'm never going to begrudge a guy of his own free will. So, I mean, obviously that's a huge honor. Whether he's there or not, I mean, it's a great achievement. He was a great player. So to each their own.
There's the Buffalo Bills defensive tackle, Kyle Williams. Pretty amazing that he played with Terrell Owens, because that seemed like decades ago. I was a kid at the time, so it was a decade ago. Right? 2010? Oh, it's almost a decade. All right, coming up next on the Nightcap, next hour, we're going to have Kyle's 1 minute of baseball. 1 minute of baseball with Kyle Powell. I also got some thoughts on Tiger Woods. 10 years ago, this tournament, U.S. Open, was the last time that Tiger Woods won a major on the PGA Tour. All that coming your way. Jody Biasi, Kyle Powell, Mike Jafari. You're listening to The Nightcap on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.